Hi, everyone, and welcome to On the Box, the Geek Show's dedicated television podcast. My name's Rob. Joining me today are Andy and Andrew.
Yes.
That's partially me. Yeah. I'm half of that equation.
Two names that are not going to confuse me in the slightest.
We don't anyway, Rob. You confuse us.
No, when you're standing side by side, you don't confuse me. But when I'm trying to say your names in the heat of the moment, you know, I might call one Andy and the other one Andrew.
Oh, you do that all the time.
Yeah, frequently.
Yes. Anyway, shall we move on?
We shall, if only there was someone here willing to do some kind of blurb-related thing.
Is there? Shall we summon the blurb fairy?
I mean, I can't do another refer to me as the blurb fairy.
Doodle-loo-loo, doodle-loo-loo, doodle-loo-loo.
Can I not be the blurb warlock?
Okay, the blurb warlock. There you go.
Okay. If you like what we do, you can find us online at thegeekshow.co.uk, where you can find all our other shows, and you can also find a donate link on the right-hand side of the website to give us money so that we can continue doing the thing that we like to do. Or you can visit the Geek Shop, which is another link on the site, where you can buy lots of the items for your money. And you can also find our shows on YouTube, on iTunes, and soon we shall be moving to Audioboom.
Yes, yes, we shall.
Which is a website that is better for reasons that Rob has explained to me and that I didn't listen to.
Do you ever listen to me about anything?
What was that?
See?
That was a bit.
A bit of what?
I don't know. I'm so very full, Rob. I've eaten too much. I'm bloated. I understand how pregnant women feel.
Basically, you need a nap, don't you?
I do. I badly need my nap.
Okay. We will go through this and then you can take a nap. Do you need Andy to burp you?
I mean, I'm a little bit gassy.
Okay.
I don't know what.
You don't know what to say to that, do you, Andy? All right, okay, so we've got news. Andy, do you want to go first or do you want me to?
Yeah, I can if you want.
Okay.
Which one should we go first?
Whichever one you want. You pick.
Let's start this with, I think this will be a bit brief, but this is a Netflix-related news story.
Okay.
Well, loosely Netflix. Might be Netflix. Anyway, everybody knows that, well, video game movies, they haven't really took off, well, quite ever, have they?
Well, there's been attempts at making a good video game movie, and they've had some measure of success, but that's about it.
Mm. Well,
do you know what I think the best video game movie actually probably is?
What's that?
Street Fighter.
Alone in the Dark.
What, the one with Christian Slater?
Yeah.
Where he's trying to play a brooding investigator of some sort with massive trauma in his past.
That film that had nothing to do with the game series that it was supposed to be based on.
Yeah, but Andy, see.
Yes.
The day Bison graced your village with his presence was the greatest day of your life.
Yeah.
But for me, it was Tuesday. And that's genuinely the best line. That is my favourite line in any film.
Oh, God. I can't watch Street Fighter anymore without thinking of that advert.
Which one?
Well, which one has Jean-Claude Van Damme been?
Oh, the Coors adverts. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I just have a feeling of him just like in the film. Just decides to lie down and make snow angels.
Oh, just, no, he it ends up in some weird Demolition Man type crossover where, you know, the freezer bit in Demolition Man, where he goes, is it cold in here?
Jean-Claude Van Damme is just there with a Coors Light. Yeah. Also, I've got a proper joke.
Oh.
Because, Andy, you say that you can't watch Street Fighter now.
Yeah.
But what I say to that? Sure you can.
Oh.
Your Street Fighter joke.
That was Anyway, it's kind of awesome and terrible at the same time, just like the Street Fighter movie.
You know when a puppy makes a mess on a carpet and then like proudly sits next to it?
Yeah.
That's how I feel right now.
Do you know the best Street Fighter bit I've seen in a movie was in Jackie Chan's City Hunter, where he's fighting some guy on a cruise ship and he gets thrown into a Street Fighter machine, and then next thing you see, he's appeared and he's dressed as Chun-Li.
Oh my god, is that where that's from?
Yeah. And the other guys.
The other day, and just I've been wondering what could lead to that circumstance.
It was totally weird, and it was great because his friends turned into one of them turned into Gal, the other one turned into Dalsim, and the bad guy turned into Ken.
Like that's an actual film.
Yes,
so it was just like some weird Chinese Street Fighter advert.
No, it was a Jackie Chan movie called City Hunter, which is based on, I think, a manga series called City Hunter, about a private detective. And it was just one of the most surreal things I've seen in a Jackie Chan movie. And Jackie Chan's done some weird stuff in his movies. Just mention the tuxedo and people run.
Oh.
Anyway.
That wasn't good.
Anyway, you were saying, Andy.
So that was the long answer to the question about video game adaptations.
Yes. So what is it about video game adaptations? What's going on with video game adaptations?
This is Assassin's Creed TV series is confirmed to be in the works.
Okay. First question is why? Because the movie wasn't really that good. Second question is why again? Because the movie wasn't that good.
He didn't reveal too much details, but Ubisoft are in talks with Netflix to, in the next few years, bring one of their main franchises to, like, as a main series on there.
Okay.
And he's recently announced they're looking into creating an Assassin's Creed TV series.
Well, I know they want to make Assassin's Creed kind of a series of movies. Mm-hmm. That was always the plan, even if the first one tanked. And my first secondary question for you, Andy, is young Magneto going to be in the TV series? Because I can't remember the actor's name.
Michael Fassbender.
That's it. Yeah.
Not remember greatest actor of our generation, Michael Fassbender's name.
The odds are no, but it does say that, like the movie, the company will be taking its time in producing the TV series. So since it took 10 years to make the film, we can expect to see...
make a mess out of it, would they?
By 2027, no doubt. But anyway, in a way, though, I mean, I saw the Assassin's Creed film. And if you're a fan of the games, I don't see too much wrong with it. If you're just going to see a film, you won't get it at all.
I like your careful wording there, Andy. I saw the Assassin's Creed movie. You didn't say you enjoyed the Assassin's Creed movie.
I enjoyed it myself, but it seems to me that it should have been a TV series. So this might actually be the better route to go if they don't bring a second film out.
So when you say it should have been a TV series, are you saying that Assassin's Creed is more like a soap opera?
Because that's the one kind of TV series in existence.
Well, no, I mean, I'm trying to figure out what type of TV series it'd be, because you've got, like, soap operas, you've got those adventure drama things like Lost and that, you've got sci-fi shows, you've got comedy panel shows, you've got cooking shows. I'm just trying to categorise Assassin's Creed in a particular genre.
The way they can make this really interesting is get rid of the animus side of it, get rid of the modern day side of it, and if you have series, make each series a separate story altogether in different time frames.
That's an interesting angle, because you could keep it like that, and you could actually have underlying themes that link all of the different series together, so a constant thread of story going through each series.
It's like the next Assassin's Creed movie was supposed to be, I think they're still making it, actually. It was supposed to be in a Cold War setting. So that's completely different.
Yeah, I mean, that has always been like the strength of Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
is that you can just move on to like a completely different setting.
So you might get like an American Horror Story type series where every single series is completely different to the last one.
Yeah, but with okay. more potential for kind of callbacks to previous series.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of potential for that. Okay, moving on to me, is it?
Yeah, I think so, Rob.
Okay, the NFL, right? Sports news. Now, I know that Andrew isn't really a big sports fan.
Hey, I know all the sports balls.
Please don't call them sports balls. When you call them sports balls,
I'd like to grab a big handful of them, give them a good whack.
Please don't say
that
either.
The sports balls.
When you say sports balls, it makes me think of jock straps. That's why when you say grab a big handful of them and give them a good whack, I'm having totally the wrong idea.
What? I don't know where you could have got such a horrible idea like that, Rob. It certainly wasn't my intent from the beginning.
But now you can never remove that image.
I can never unhear that.
Anyway, the NFL, right? That bastion of American sport. The commissioner of the NFL, Roger Goodell, has confirmed that the National Football League is taking steps to improve the flow and pace of the game after a noticeable drop in ratings for the 2016 regular season. Because the games in NFL take ages, and one of the biggest problems when you're watching them on TV, I mean, have you ever tried to watch the Super Bowl?
Do we get the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
It's like about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
And finishes at like 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning because there's the halftime show and there's constant advertisement breaks. Every time the game stops, there's another advertisement break. And what they're doing now, they're making adjustments to commercial breaks. So they're planning to tweak it so that there are fewer commercial breaks, or they'll make them longer breaks at set times during the game rather than having them appear every so often in the game when the game takes a break or a pause for whatever reason.
But the game in American, well, the game American football for takes too many pauses.
Yes,
there's more pauses than game.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If you're watching a game, if you're a diehard American football fan, and you're watching the game, and then the game stops, and you have an advert for, I don't know, dog food or something like that, and then it goes back to the game, and then the game stops again 5 minutes later, and it goes on to an advert for pizza ovens or something, and then you go back to the game. You can't really get immersed in the game because the adverts are coming thick and fast at that point.
That's true.
And it's even worse when it's the Super Bowl. I hope they extend this to the Super Bowl as well.
I don't know if they will, because, like, aren't the Super Bowl adverts kind of a bit of a culture now?
They are.
Kind of this, the whole thing about kind of revealing your newest advert for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it is a bit of a cultural phenomenon at the moment. But if they keep doing it that way, then something's got to give, because people don't have the bladder span for that kind of thing. I mean, you know those bags that people can wear when they're where they can urinate in it and it basically collects it in a bag down their leg?
Oh, I know what you mean. I thought you were going to say something like, you know them bags you can buy?
Yeah. Well, one of the original purposes for those bags was for people watching live NFL games or live baseball games.
Okay.
But surely the people watching live baseball games don't need it. Because no human being sit there and watch baseball for that amount of time.
I didn't say they were human. I mean, it's like people I know who sit there and watch cricket all day.
Yeah, my dad's like that. Or he was.
I don't understand how you can sit there and watch cricket all day. I've been to Lords and tried. I really tried.
I can't watch cricket for about 5 minutes.
I can watch the highlights of cricket. I'm fine with those. I'm fine with the highlights of NFL as well. But I couldn't say
Yeah, because by their very nature, they're cutting out the boring bits.
Yeah, I couldn't say I'd happily sit down and watch a full NFL game or a full cricket match.
No. It's like golf. Goes on for days.
Yeah, I don't understand golf either. I mean, you have people following them, and you're just like, well, do you not have anything better to do with your time? He's hitting a small ball towards a small hole, and he's
You don't even need me, do you, with the innuendo?
Yeah, when you put it that way, there is a certain voyeuristic pleasure in golf, isn't there? Is that why everyone just claps him gently after he manages to get it in?
Exactly. That's the trick to like showing golf on TV. Just replace all like the commentary with 70s porn music.
Do you know that could work? I'm going to have to see if anyone's done that on YouTube. It'd be hilarious.
Oh, God.
So anyway, that's what's happening with the NFL. Over to you, Andy.
Great British Bake Off.
Yes.
There's that show again. Anyway.
Yeah, it's a shame that it finished and got cancelled.
Anyway, they have announced the replacements to Mel and Sue as the main presenters.
Is it Ant and Dec?
No. I take it you haven't seen this yet, Ron, Rob?
Nope.
Have you, Andrew?
I have, yes. It's eclectic, is I think the word.
Anyway, the new presenters for the Great British Bake Off. I should do like a X Factor-esque pause with this one, shouldn't I?
Richard? Wasn't it supposed to be Richard Ayoade?
It was supposed to be Richard Ayoade, or as this article says, Richard Adayade.
Okay.
But we'll forget about that one. But he got the Crystal Maze gig, so he said. But anyway, it is the Mighty Boosh's Noel Fielding and Sandy Toksvig.
What? Hang on. Sandy Toksvig and Noel Fielding?
Yeah. The host of QI and Noel Fielding.
I don't think you could make a parody that would be more ridiculous than that.
Unless it was French and Starders trying to do carpool karaoke.
I mean, I was expecting Channel 4 to do actually try and do this really good, considering the flop that Top Gear was for casting. But,
Okay, Sandy Toksvig and Noel Fielding. Noel Fielding, I can kind of understand. Sandy Toksvig?
No. If anything, Noel Fielding is the wrong... It's not nice tea time.
No, but that's
tea time, Noel Fielding.
No, I'm looking at it from... If you look at it from the TV executive's point of view, they're looking at Mel and Sue and going, okay, they're like naughty little kids. Who do we know who's a bit like a naughty little kid? Oh, Noel Fielding. He's a bit like a naughty little kid, so let's get him. That's what I mean by I can understand. I don't agree.
School to hang out behind Tesco's with the rough kids.
Yeah, I don't agree with Noel Fielding. I think he's totally the wrong choice.
Possibly living under a bridge.
Yeah.
It's like Channel 4 have got a full range of people to choose from. They could have went with John Richardson, even.
No.
You know what I mean?
No. I reckon if you're going to get anybody, right, Sandy Toksvig, fine. I'm totally fine with Sandy Toksvig because I like Sandy Toksvig. She's got a very cutting humour to her. But I think if you're going to pick someone else, Sean Locke.
At least you can legitimately get 8 out of 10 Cats does the Great British Bake Off now, with it being a Channel 4 property. So hopefully we've got that to look forward to.
That's going to be carnage, you know that. You know
people are going to die.
No. You have Joe Wilkinson burning his hand on the cake tin.
No, you know Jimmy Carr is going to have bread shaped like something. He's going to have a baguette. He's going to do the Dali cookbook. And Andrew, he's going to do the Dali cookbook.
Oh, my God. No, even challenge one, bake a cake in the shape of Jimmy Carr's face.
Oh.
They all have to fight over a single tube of white icing.
Hang on, you make it sound like the Hunger Games meets the Great British Bake Off.
I mean, that's obviously what it's going to be, Rob.
The Hungry Bake Off. Oh, God. Yeah, Noel Fielding, I can understand, but I don't agree with that. I think he's the wrong choice. Sandy Toksvig, I'm not sure. I like her. I don't know how she'll take to this.
She needs serious stuff. For example, QI, and when she did 15 to 1.
Oh, I don't know. 15? I think Sandy Toksvig's a very, very funny person.
Hmm.
It's just, I don't know if she's the right person for Bake Off.
Hmm.
And Mel and Sue were perfect because it's that whole thing, kids like cakes, you know, and whenever you're baking a cake, the kids are always going, ooh, what's that? Ooh, can I try some of that? Ooh, what's that? Can I try some of that?
Should have brought the Chuckle Brothers in.
Oh, Andy, you genius. Andrew, what do you think the Chuckle Brothers do in Bake Off?
That is like, that's almost too British.
But it is kind of perfect, isn't it?
It is. I think the Chuckle Brothers doing Bake Off is what actually causes King Arthur to rise again.
Yeah. Andy, you may have just found the perfect marriage.
Can somebody give me a job at Channel 4 casting, please?
Somebody just give Andy a job at casting, okay? Just general. Just we'll
That's
get
a Casting Inc., the casting corporation.
Yeah, just basically get Andy to just look at a show and go, right, okay, these people are perfect for it. That's it. That's his job. 5 minutes of work, $20 million.
And obviously Paul Hollywood is still on the show, so...
Yeah. When he gets time from gallivanting around the world on his city bakes. Which actually
Like a posh Greg State bake.
No. I'll be honest. His city bake show is actually quite interesting. It is. I can't deny it. And he's a good presenter as well.
But also, more importantly, I think the first technical challenge should be to make kind of a crusty loaf in the shape of the word traitor.
Oh.
And then you put it in front of Paul Hollywood and just shove a knife into it.
No, into the back of it. Yes. You turn it over and shove a knife into the back of it. Do you get the metaphor, Paul? Oh, okay. I've got a bit of Top Gear news, guys.
Hooray! It's not the Chuckle Brothers, is it?
No. Top Gear is getting another US remake. Because, they had a Top Gear in the US at some point.
Yes.
I can almost appreciate the perseverance.
Yeah. Well, they're making Top Gear for the US again. But this time, one of the hosts is going to be William Fichtner. William Fichtner.
Yeah.
He's the guy who
apart from being a really hard last name to say.
Yeah, he's the guy who played Mahone in Prison Break.
Ah.
And basically, he was... You know that thing you've seen with the creepy guy?
Yeah.
He was the creepy guy.
Yes, generally...
He was always the creepy guy.
Generally, if it's a creepy guy on TV, it'll be him.
Oh, please say his co-host is Steve Buscemi.
That would be amazing.
Can I imagine if they have a Star in a Reasonably Priced Car segment... It's just the two of them staring at a celebrity.
He's got two co-hosts, Anton Brown and Tom Wookie Ford. Anton Brown is a drag racer and Ford is a motoring journalist and TV presenter who previously hosted Fifth Gear.
Oh. So, hang on.
I mean, those sound boringly conventional.
Yeah.
Hang on, so they've got an English person doing the US one and they've got a US one doing the... UK one.
William Fichtner is English, is he?
No, I'm about...
The one who was on Fifth Gear.
Oh, him. Right, yeah. Tom Wookie Ford.
Really Star Wars name, that.
Surely that's a nickname.
Maybe he's just really hairy. I don't know. Maybe he just gargles like a Wookie. And maybe it's just because...
It's not the form of possibility that he is a hairy guy. Yeah. So someone called him Wookie.
Yeah.
Maybe he just has a beard.
I think, he's got a goatee. I'm just looking at him, and he's got a goatee, and he did have kind of floopy hair.
He might have a really weird yawn.
Possibly. Possibly, I don't know.
Maybe he tears people's arms off when they annoy him.
Yeah. But anyway, that's happening. So Top Gear is getting a US remake. I'm still not sure why, but it is.
It's that pioneer spirit, Rob.
Well, I don't understand why it's getting a remake, because
you don't give up on something just because it's a bad idea, that's why.
It's not that, it's just they tried to do
you
this...
You keep going until everyone else is burned down and too sad to tell you no.
It's just, they did this before. They made a US version of Top Gear, which nobody watched, it tanked.
This was though before our Top Gear went downhill.
That is exactly what I'm saying though. The reason why it tanked was because nobody watched the US version. Everybody was watching the British version, only in the US. Because the British version of Top Gear was so much better than the US version. So everyone was watching Clarkson and his friends. And I think that's the best way forward. Just have one Top Gear and ship it to the rest of the world.
I'd have thought our Top Gear now would have been more popular in the US with who's actually hosting it. So
I think it's the Trump mentality. I think they liked Clarkson because he sounded kind of no nonsense and he was a bit clueless, but he was kind of goofy with it. And so they liked him. Hell, they elected somebody who fits that description as president.
Hey.
So anyway, any more news?
I don't think so.
Nope. Okay, we'll take a break there. We'll be back in a moment with what we've been watching.
The world of comics and manga are much, much more complex than I'll ever know. So tune in to 4Panel on the Geek Show Podcast Network to make that whole world a little less intimidating.
Welcome back, and now it's time for what we've been watching. So guys, what have you been watching?
Well, I've been watching something which is similar, but completely different.
Similar, but completely different.
Yes.
Is this some weird Monty Python thing?
No. We talked about this, actually. I think it was the last episode, either that or the last one before it. But I've been watching the rebooted Gadget Show.
Ah.
So, see what I mean there? It's the same, but very different.
Yes.
See, it was a good one, wasn't it?
I don't get it.
Anyway, the new series of the Gadget Show started. It was literally a few days after the last episode of On the Box aired.
Yeah.
And it had a total reboot of both format and lineup, in a way. Craig Charles has took over as the lead host. John Bentley's still there. Otis Steele's still there. And Georgie Barrett has joined the show as well.
Georgie Barrett?
I've never heard of her, but she's on the show. But anyway, this new format, I watched this with intrigue because I took... Well, I never really watch a Gadget Show anymore because it got quite a bit stale. But it seems to have went the studio route. It's gone back to its roots, but it feels very Top Gear-y. For example, the first segment of the show usually is a new unboxing segment, obviously capitalising on how popular unboxing videos have become.
Yeah, I never understood why unboxing videos were so successful.
You know, it's so you can unbox a product without having to buy it. You know, the best thing of buying a new product is the unboxing stage.
But why do people want to watch another person do it?
Is it some kind of weird voyeuristic pleasure?
But anyway, what this...
Is it like sport?
But anyway, what this does, Craig Charles is usually acts as the clueless one learning about these new things that they're unboxing. And you get
Georgie.
I was about to say that. I was literally about to say that.
But anyway, and I think it's Georgie Barrett's the one that explains the product to him. But the first episode, they were unboxing the Nintendo Switch. It was aired the day... It was either the exact day or the day before it released over here. And what they did was they unboxed it and they set it up and showed you how it worked and had a game of milking a cow, you know. But it's a really new, unique spin on it. But they also have another new segment that they've added is where they put a gadget which either everybody hates or... is absolutely terrible into a special expensive gadget blender, and it totally obliterates the phone or whatever they put into it.
Why don't they just give it to us? There's no need for all this destruction and vandalism, guys. Just, you know, just give it to us. We'll be fine. We'll be your friends.
But in addition to that, they've kept the old video segments. For example, John Bentley still does his review bit. He reviewed the Virgin Media TiVo, well, the new one, recently. And you get, for example, where the helper sports team with tech help a really amateur sports team get better with tech. So they still have all those. But I think altogether it gels really well. And it is exactly what the Gadget Show needed because, to be fair, it has went downhill over the last 5 years or so. And they keep everybody coming back as well because for the first time, they ask what they're talking about next week at the end of the show as well. And Craig Charles does a really good job at hosting the show.
Okay. So he's basically jumped into the pool and has found the water is totally fine.
Yeah, definitely suits it.
All right, excellent. So what can I talk about? What can I talk about? What have I been watching? I've been watching all sorts, but damn it.
Oh, is that a new comedy?
No, it's not a new comedy. I've been watching all sorts, but I think I'm going to have to go with one that I end up having to sit through for a while, and it wasn't by choice. It just happened to be on, and nobody would allow me to change the channel, even though I was slowly dying inside from watching it. Yeah, Hollyoaks.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Hang on, do you say Hollyoaks?
Yes, Hollyoaks.
Or was it a low-budget version, Hollyoaks?
No, no, it was definitely Hollyoaks, I remember, because I still have the scars, man.
But now I'm really intrigued by the idea of Hollyoaks. It's just like a bunch of vicars like screaming, "You slept with my girlfriend," and slapping each other.
Hollyoaks is... I don't understand how this TV show is still being made. I honestly don't. Right, it just seems like in the UK, we seem to thrive on the misery of others. It seems to be our national pastime. No, so our favourite national sport, aside from queuing, is thriving on the misery of others. And when you look
at... It is a weirdly sadistic TV show.
It is. When you look at the soap operas we have in this country, Coronation Street thrives on the misery of others. Emmerdale thrives on the misery of others. I mean, how many accidents have happened in Emmerdale? It's one of the most dangerous places to live in the UK. Not the most dangerous, though. That's still Midsummer. Sorry, but it is. But also, there's EastEnders on BBC, which is just abject misery. You know, it's like a Kozlowski film at times. You just think, how the hell are these characters being put through this much crap? You know, what's the point in you even getting out of bed in the morning? And then you've got Hollyoaks.
If they didn't, then, like, the roof would collapse on their bed, crushing them.
Yes, and the thing is, then you got Hollyoaks, the unwanted ginger stepchild of UK soap opera TV. And Hollyoaks is, it's appallingly bad. And I mean that in every sense of the word. It's just so depressing to watch. And everybody thinks that they're beautiful people in this series, in this show. And I'm just going, no, you're not. You're a horrible, horrible person. If I knew you in reality, I would punch you just for your own good. And I know the show is trying to provoke a reaction of some sort from me, but these are supposed to be characters who are depicted on real people and just think there's no hope for humanity anymore. Why am I watching this? Why are you forcing me to watch this? Why are you not allowing me to change the channel? Please let me change the channel. There are some really good cooking shows on. I'm sure there's a nice documentary about the Holocaust somewhere. I would rather watch that than watch Hollyoaks. The writing is awful in Hollyoaks. There are so many, just in one episode, there are so many continuity issues. It's ridiculous. The acting is subpar. It's probably the worst soap opera acting I've seen out of all the five soap operas. and that includes Emmerdale. And Emmerdale, I'm sorry, Emmerdale is Oscar material compared to Hollyoaks.
Hmm.
They had a serial killer in Hollyoaks at one point who was some old guy who was supposed to be decidedly evil, but whenever I saw him on TV trying to be evil, I would just immediately think that he had, you know, he'd automatically sat on something or something moved inside and he wasn't sure what it was, but he might have to go see a doctor about it.
You know, I'm going to make a confession.
Eh?
I actually kind of love Silas. Because my sister is a big Hollyoaks fan. And I love that this guy, who in every single scene looks like a bored librarian.
Yeah, but you understand what I mean.
He's a notorious serial killer.
You understand what I mean, though? When he's trying to look evil, he looks like something's moved inside and he might have to see a doctor about it.
Yeah, he looks like how I feel right now.
Yeah.
Like he's had a bit too much.
And you're right, he does look like a bored librarian. And I'm just kind of... I know your sister loves Hollyoaks, Andrew, but I hate it with passion.
Yeah.
Oh, no, no, don't worry. I let her know what a terrible show it is that she watches.
It's so bad, isn't it? And then at one point they had Hollyoaks Nights.
Hollyoaks Later.
Yeah, Hollyoaks Later, sorry. And I'm just kind of...
Like the 18-plus version of Hollyoaks.
Which was nowhere near being 18-plus, because I'm thinking, hang on, I've seen worse than this on, on kids' TV. They've done worse than this on Harry Potter. And that's a kids' movie, let's be fair.
I've got to admit again, I also kind of like how blatant it is that the writers just don't care.
Yeah, I know. And I'm just
like, what if this character was a gangster? Why not?
This character's
a serial killer now, and so's that one, and that one.
The only thing I'm sure about the writers in Hollyoaks is that they are living it up somewhere. They've got a nice villa. They're, you know, drinking champagne out of shoes or something like that. And they're laughing their asses off because Channel 4 continues to pay them. And see,
that's the image I love, that, like, they wake up, like, covered in cocaine and hookers. Think, oh, no. It's 5 minutes until the deadline. Better write a Hollyoaks script.
Yes. That is how I imagine them as well. There's only 5 minutes left.
Oh, that's the TV show I want to watch.
What, the rating of Hollyoaks?
Yes, just like, what, these ridiculously scumbag soap opera writers.
And thing is, I don't... Right, if it was any community... Right, soap operas are supposed to reflect the community that you're in, or part of the community. You may know a community that fits that particular type. EastEnders, Emmerdale, Coronation Street, whatever, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, all the other small villages that also have, like, major hospitals and police stations.
Yeah. Hollyoaks, though, I'm still not sure which community Hollyoaks is for. Which community is it trying to represent, or is it trying to reflect? Because... And I'm like that with a lot of the British soap operas, but Hollyoaks in particular, because there's so much bad stuff happens in Hollyoaks, and you just think, do they not have, like, times when nothing happens, or times when they're actually really happy?
It'd be quite a really boring show if nothing actually happened. It's like having Midsummer Murders without the murders.
Yeah, but, I mean, we have a show where nothing actually happens, and we enjoy it. It's called Gogglebox. Because think about it, Gogglebox is the perfect soap opera. It's basically a bunch of people. It's kind of a... I would dare to say Gogglebox was inspired by the Royal Family, because the Royal Family was effectively a soap opera about a family sitting there watching TV and commenting on it.
Yeah, Gogglebox is basically real life Royal Family.
Yeah, and it is the perfect soap opera because we sit there and get voyeuristic pleasure out of watching people do nothing. They just come on TV like regular people do. Mm. But they don't even do that in Hollyoaks. It's like nobody comments in all of these TV, in all of these soap operas. Nobody comments on stuff that's going on in, like, the real world and, you know, or on TV or something like that. It's like nobody ever. When was the last time you saw, like, a cup final in EastEnders and everyone piling into the Queen Vic to watch the cup final?
I don't know.
I don't know if it's ever happened, but that's something that normal people would do. You know, normal, regular people who are represented in these soap operas would do that. but I don't see that happening there. But yeah, Hollyoaks. Back to Hollyoaks. It's kind of the tip of my grudge against soap operas in general. I have had to sit through some awful, awful soap operas over the years. And my God, don't even remind me about those crazy South American ones. The Latin American soap operas. If Hollyoaks was like a Latin American soap opera, I might actually enjoy it because those ones, they are nuts. You know, if Hollyoaks was trying to purposefully be like that, it might actually be entertaining because it would be full of evil twins and double crosses and blackmails and more double crosses and supernatural things and various things happening and all sorts of just weird and wacky stuff that it make it more like the X-Files.
See, it's weird that you say that. It's like, I've actually kind of had a dream of like wanting to write Hollyoaks and just have it like start off how it is now.
Yeah.
And then like get gradually more insane.
So kind of Twin Peaks then.
Yeah, but like make it like it is of just like being really like disproportionately insane in some scenes.
Yeah.
So it's like in one scene it's like, ooh, Jessica wonders if Harry really feels about her the same way she feels about him. Meanwhile, Jean-Paul accidentally opens a portal to hell.
No, Jean-Paul finds out that he has an evil twin, but it turns out his evil twin also has an evil twin who also has an evil twin who has a twin who is actually quite a saint because Jean-Paul is actually quintuplets, but didn't know it.
And then the saintly twin is the one who's the real evil twin.
Yes. And that is...
And then in the final episode, someone just turns to each other, someone else, and goes, have you ever thought about how a lot of really weird things seem to happen in our town?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. If it was trying to be more like a Latin American soap opera, I can guarantee you one thing, everyone would be so much better at dancing. Because
yes,
it is a thing, whether you're from Brazil or Argentina or, you know, or Peru or Venezuela or one of those countries, the majority of South Americans I know, every single one of them knows how to dance. And if Hollyoaks, if they were just kind of dancing a little bit, if they had some enjoyment, if they had some flair, you know, throw in a bit of colour, not everyone has to wear a white hoodie. There's no flamboyance, there's nothing, it's just kind of boring and dull, and yeah, I'm done.
Right, you've certainly made a point, maybe.
I don't like Hollyoaks, that's my point.
There we go, that'll do.
Andrew, protect me. Please make it so that I don't have to watch Hollyoaks again.
And please commission Hollyoaks.
I promise nothing.
Please commission Hollyoaks. Please.
Yes, Andrew, I'm going to put a petition together. I want you and Andy to get together and you two write Hollyoaks from now on.
How about we just shoot our own? Find
yes,
some actors.
Andy, use your position as like Channel 4's head of casting.
To she sent a very strongly worded email.
Dear Hollyoaks, I think your show needs more Latin American dancing in it.
Yes.
They'll be in touch immediately.
Dear Hollyoaks, I found the perfect writer for you. You can get rid of the old ones. Here he is.
Oh my god. Now I've just realised what my Hollyoaks writer's show needs.
Oh?
Is that one character who's like genuinely eager to try and write actual storylines?
Yes!
And he'd be the one that all the other writers hate.
Yeah, because he's actually trying to do a proper job and they don't want to, because they're on the gravy train and they don't want anyone to rock the boat.
It's basically Mad Men, but with Hollyoaks writers.
Yes, it is. I just realised what we've done. So anyway, on to you, Andrew.
Yes, I have watched TV.
Did you watch anything on TV, though?
I like the static. It's comforting.
Oh, you're just staring at it and using your imagination.
Exactly. The greatest channel of all.
Did you watch any box sets or anything?
What I have been watching is SSGB.
Hey? Oh, SS Great Britain. Ah, I've been meaning to watch this.
Yeah, it's especially for a BBC show. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Kind of an alternate reality history tale set in a Britain where we lost the Battle of Britain and are now under Nazi occupation. And by we, I mean those losers in the south, because the north is still holding out.
Are we still rebelling?
It's really weird in shows like that when they say stuff like the unoccupied north, and you're like, just get in us. We showed those Nazis what for.
I don't like the term the unoccupied north. Yeah. I don't like the term the unoccupied north. It makes it sound like no one lives there.
To be fair, no one does. Yeah, SSGB. So it's about a policeman called Douglas Archer who begins investigating a death, and he's kind of got to solve that while also dealing... Basically, he's constantly trying to like walk that middle line of... like, obviously, I don't work for the Nazis, but similarly, I don't want to help the resistance, really, because I want to keep doing my job as a policeman.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting, because it's... I like that it's a lot more morally grey than you would get in a lot of this kind of thing. Not just the Nazis are bad, and the British are the stiff upper-lipped, noble hero types. Because the resistance are basically terrorists.
Yep.
I like that he has to struggle with, I condone what these people are doing.
Well, if the resistance were around now, they'd be on a watch list, at least.
If we still lived in Nazi-occupied 1940s Britain, yes.
Okay, so how does this compare to something like The Man in the High Castle?
To be honest, I haven't seen Man in the High Castle.
Have you not?
No, I haven't.
I should have talked about The Man in the High Castle.
Talk about it now, Rob.
The Man in the High Castle is it's kind of a what-if.
I know. Because it's based on the story that is kind of the original what-if the Nazis won World War II, isn't it?
Yeah. But then they find these tapes that suggest a different future, that the Nazis lost the war. And the whole thing with The Man in the High Castle, it's a little bit surreal at times, and it does sometimes require a bit of background knowledge about World War II, a bit more than in order to fully comprehend things that are happening. But it does try and explain around various points that happened during the war. Because it does refer back to some of those things that happened during the war.
I was just going to say that SSGB doesn't really do that, because obviously in this scenario, there wasn't really much of a World War II.
Yeah.
Because it all ended at Battle of Britain.
Yeah. It's kind of similar to... when I talk about the war, I'm not talking about just the war, just how it ended up in the UK. I'm talking about the fact that there was a war that went across Europe. And the Nazis basically won. So the Nazis have basically taken over pretty much everything. And with The Man in the High Castle, you get this weird dichotomy between what actually happened in World War II and this supposition of what could have happened in World War II. And if you know your World War II history, then you really can enjoy the show in a way that most people probably won't. But anyway...
Okay, yeah, no. I would say SSGB is different than that, because it's more about just the general idea of living in an occupied state.
Okay.
Which I like, because it's kind of... It means it's a thing that you can look over to, like, the Ukraine or something.
Yeah.
Like, suddenly realise, oh, damn, there was a period of time when that very easily could have happened to us.
Yeah. This is true. So, is it a recommend for me then, Andrew?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's a recommend. I very much enjoyed it.
Fantastic.
Also, more importantly, it has a scene in which Archer, who's the police guy, plays a poker game full of, like, hidden inferences and code-talking in an art room, which is, like, beneath a hidden panel in a fancy mansion.
Nice.
And that's the kind of scene that every single TV show needs to have.
I agree with you. I fully agree with you. I'm not sure it would work in Hollyoaks, but I still agree with you.
Yeah, Hollyoaks, I mean, to be fair, I could easily see them working in like a high-stakes poker game to Hollyoaks.
Yeah, but then it'd end up a bit more like Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, and you don't want that.
I mean, I could see that crossover quite easily.
Yeah, Hollyoaks and Lock, Stock, I could see that happening as well. So anyway, that's us for today then, isn't it?
Mm. Yep, seems like.
So we're at the end of the show. We're going to leave you for another fortnight, but we'll be back with more television viewing and television discussion, kind of. But until then, I have been Rob.
I've been Andy.
And I've been Andrew.
We'll see you all later.
Thanks for listening.